Today is the day I celebrate every year as Warbler Day. Up here in Duluth, warbler migration is just kicking in, but in other places I've lived, Chicago, Lansing, Michigan, Madison, Wisconsin, and Ithaca, New York, warbler migration is peaking right about now. I selected May 11th as Warbler Day because that's the day I identified my first warblers ever in 1975. I lucked into the middle of a big migratory flock of them. Most warblers are territorial enough by spring migration to get agitated hearing others of their own species singing, so a flock of, say, 7 individuals is likely to have 6 or 7 species rather than several of just one species. Sure enough, that one flock gave me a black and white, Nashville, magnolia, and black-throated green. In retrospect, it also had a Canada warbler. I was trying desperately to see all the important field marks of each one, but going back and forth between the bird and my field guide was tricky because the birds were so actively flitting this way and that. I saw one that was brilliant yellow with shiny black streaking beneath, with a bluish-gray back and no wing bars. I looked down through my book and found Canada warbler, but when I looked up at a bird in the same spot, I saw that brilliant yellow underside with shiny black streaking, but now it had large, thick, white wing bars. This time it cooperated long enough for me to confirm it was a magnolia, but the first one I saw there had to have been a Canada warbler, even if I didn't see it long enough to confirm it for my life list. I'm sure there were several other species in the flock as well, but I needed more time to study each one than the active little birds gave me. 2 days later, I added another warbler to my life list, the Blackburnian. Those were the only warblers I was able to identify that spring. I was just starting out, still new at getting birds into my binoculars in the first place, and then tracking them, and trying to fix all the critical features of each bird while I could hold it in view. I clearly remember how frustrating warblers were for me, but also the thrill when I kept one in view long enough to work through what it was. By the next spring, I was much faster, and my warbler list grew to over 20 species. The warblers I saw in 1975 may be the first ones I ever identified, but they're not the first ones I ever saw, though I didn't realize it at the time because I happened to be a preschooler. It was probably May 1957 when I saw a flock of brilliantly colored tiny birds in the maple tree out my upstairs bedroom window in Northlake, Illinois. My mother said they must be canaries, but they were ever so much more intensely colored and so much more active than the only canaries I'd ever seen, my grandpa's beloved pets. My grandpa had told me how canaries saved the lives of miners by warning them about poisonous gases, but every one of those heroic little birds had died saving the miners. So my preschool brain reasoned that these brilliant little birds outside my window must have been the angels of canaries that had died saving miners' lives. When I became a birder and realized those birds had been warblers, my childhood fancy made the warbler family even lovelier for me. Warblers are challenging puzzles, beautiful spirits, and wonderfully characteristic of our North Woods. Of course, the dark side of enjoying them on their breeding grounds is the ever-present cloud of mosquitoes. Mosquitoes bite warblers as voraciously as they bite us humans, but in turn, the warblers get quite a bit of protein from the mosquitoes, including any human blood a consumed mosquito may have sucked up. It's sort of cool to look at warblers rushing through and wonder which ones might have a tiny speck of protein in their bodies that came from my own blood. It's satisfying to realize that I am unwittingly supplying at least a trace of nourishment to birds that so deeply nourish my soul. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.